Hello, and welcome back to Here Come the Sun. I'm your host, Sean Gauthier, and this is going to be a quick lunch break breakdown of the Sun versus Lynx semifinal series. I had some technical difficulties last night, so I'm recording right now on my lunch break on Tuesday, the same day as the Sun take on the Lynx in the pivotal winner-take-all Game 5. For today's show, I want to talk about what went right for the Sun in the games that they won, and what went wrong in the games that they lost. First of all, when the defense is locked in, the Sun win games. That feels really obvious, but in the games where the Sun have won, they've turned their defense into offense. Also, their perimeter defense is key in these matchups since the Lynx are the better three-point scoring team and the Sun are the better paint scoring team. So that said, they need to keep Minnesota's threes down if they're going to keep the score tight, and especially if they're going to take a lead and keep a lead in these games. Obviously, three-point shooting is also very important to winning these games too. The Sun's offense in Game 3 was not pretty, and their efficiency numbers from 3 were a big part of that. And against a team that shoots well from 3, you've got to be making the ones that you're taking, even if you're not putting up as many shots from the 3-point range as your opponents are. With all that said, I'm going to skip ahead and just get to what I think are the two keys to winning tonight for the Connecticut Sun. I think those are Ty Harris, and it's the small ball lineups. Starting with Ty, she was absolutely electric in Game 4. She had a career high in playoff points. She hit clutch shots throughout the game. Her passing ability and her spacing that she provides on the court made a huge difference too. In her post-game press conference, head coach Stephanie White said that Ty made a difference not only scoring, but by giving the Sun another ball handler on the court. So when she's out there and you've also got AT, you have multiple people who can lead the attack on the offensive end, so you're not just relying on putting the ball in one person's hands, and it helps just show the defense different looks, making it harder for the very good Minnesota Lynx defense to stop the Sun on the offensive side of the ball. Ty missed Game 1 and only played a few minutes in Games 2 and 3, but her presence was decidedly felt in Game 4. Using Ty Harris now that she's back from that injury and was ready to go, I think that she could be a major X factor in these games in a similar way that Marina Mabry has been, especially in Game 1. It's better to have two great three-point shooters on the court than to have one. And so, it really makes a difference. It also means that you never don't have a three-point shooter on the court. Ty started Game 4, and then, when Ty went to the bench, you didn't have this big drop-off because Mabry's able to come into the game, and then you never are without a three-point shooter, but you can also at times have both of them in, which just means that the defense has to be paying attention to and reacting to that many more players out at the three-point line. All that said, I think the biggest key for me is playing the small ball lineups. With Bonner at the 5 playing center, AT at the 4, and then any configuration of guards at the 1, 2, and 3 spot, the Sun have been fast and scrappy on defense. They're able to effectively switch way more often, and that switching is key to the perimeter defense they're playing. When they're able to switch one great perimeter defender for another, you're able to more easily close out on three-point attempts off of pick and rolls and things like that. And it makes a big difference in terms of making the Lynx take tougher shots since they are such a good three-point shooting team. On the offense, they're also more spaced out in the court. It makes it easier for players to drive into the paint into a much more open lane if you've got defenders sticking to the three-point shooters that are out there on the perimeter. But it also means that if someone does drive in and a defender sags off a little bit to help, you've now got a much more open shot for those taking shots from the perimeter rather than, the defender being able to stick to that person on the three-point arc. And so I think that this small ball lineup has been excellent. In Game 1, they played, I did my recap after Game 1, and the small ball lineup was dominant. And I mentioned that Stephanie White had talked about how important the small ball lineup was in their previous matchups in the regular season. And so I was surprised to see them go away from it so much in games 2 and 3. In the games that the Sun won, centers played a combined 23 and 15 minutes. But in the losses, they played a combined 27 and 37 minutes. And this is in no way a slight to the centers, Breonna Jones and Olivia Nelson-Adota. They're both excellent players, and Breezy's an all-star for a reason, right? But in this matchup, the small ball lineups have just performed so well that I think that it matters that you stick to it. And I'm not saying like that they should be running the small ball the whole time. I think that's going to be too exhausting. You know, you've got Ty Harris back, but you still only have really like the four guards in your main rotation. So you're not going to, you know, have three of them out there at all times. And again, I said in the games that they won, the center still played 23 minutes and 15 minutes, right? So like, I'm not saying don't run the centers at all. I'm just saying, you know, especially when you're looking to build a lead or get the game back within reach, that small ball lineup has been so, so effective that I hope to see the Sun running it more and more in these games. And again, back to that spacing, right? Like the small ball lineups, when you have, say it's Carrington, Mabry, and Ty Harris out on the court, like those three can basically switch on the defensive end, whomever they're guarding. You might end up with some size mismatches, obviously, but with the Lynx shooting so many three balls, like having those perimeter defenders really matters. But, and then also, you know, you've still got Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas who can be patrolling the paint. Both of them looked pretty good against Nafisa Collier in this last game. I think Dawana Bonner did really well. She had at least one block against her. Combining that with the fact that you get so much more spacing by having those three guards out in the perimeter where you can't leave Mabry, you can't leave Ty. So then and you can't really leave Dawana Bonner at the 3-point line either. So then, you know, with people, with the defenders glued to the people that they're defending on the Sun on the perimeter, you're just making it so much easier for Dejanay Carrington to drive in, or for Dejanay Carrington to do what she was doing so well in the last round and in the first game of this series, where she's cutting in off ball and creating so much space for someone to drive behind her, or, you know, just taking away the attention for even a split second that makes it so that Alyssa Thomas or Dawana Bonner can score in the paint. Like, you make so much more room for those plays where the people on the perimeter are able to impact the game when their defender has to actually stick with them much more. Whereas, you know, if it's Breonna Jones out of the 3-point line, like, you can't totally leave her. She will hit them, but as a defender, you feel more comfortable sagging off of her to go and help out on an Alyssa Thomas drive or on a Dawana Bonner drive than you do with you know, leaving Marina Mabry or Ty Harris out there on the line. And so I think that spacing, that 3-point shooting is just a massive difference in these games, and that, you know, for the Sun to win this one, I think we're going to need to see that small ball lineup out there again and really making a difference both on the defensive end and on the offensive end. All right, that was a lot of me talking really fast because, again, I am recording this on my lunch break to make sure I get this episode out. But before I go, we got some questions from Hui Mascareñas on Twitter. I'm going to answer all three of these questions. The first one is, did the Sun find a recipe to stop Fee? And I don't think that there is a way to stop Nafisa Collier. And so I don't think that they have. But I do think that, you know, so looking back at the games, right, in game one, Fee had a relatively human game. She scored 19 points after she was done averaging 40 points in the first round. But then despite her having a bad game in game two, she only had 9 points on like 3 of 14 shooting. The Lynx still found a way to win. And in that game four win that we just watched, Nafisa Collier still had 29 points, but the Sun won the game. So I think given all that, it's important to keep trying to limit her and to make the game harder for her so she's not scoring 40, right? But I think that actually it's even more important that you're limiting everyone around her, because it can be so easy to, you know, try and attack the best player on a team and try and, you know, put two on her or, you know, really focus all your game plan around her. And then you're just making it so much easier for everyone around the team to score. And so I think, you know, continuing to try and limit her. I'd love to see another 19-point game from her. But ultimately, I think it's actually even more important that you don't let her pull all the attention from the players around her, who are all really capable in their own ways, especially the three-point shooting that they have on that team. The other thing too is that it seems like based on lineups, the Sun don't actually have just one person guarding Nivisa Cullar at all times. It really cycles between Breezy and AT and Bonner, and I think that's important too because it just gives her different looks, makes her have to figure out different things. You know, she's giving up strength against a player like Breezy or Bonner. I mean, Breezy or Alyssa Thomas against Bonner. Bonner's got the length that can really help her mess up. You know, just change the types of shots Nafisa can take. And so, yeah, I'm not sure there's any one way to stop Nafisa Collier. I'm not sure there is a way to stop Nafisa Collier, but slowing her down while also making sure you're paying attention to everyone else is really important. Second question is, was it our defense that allowed faster points in transition, or DB and AT bringing their game up a level in that second half? I think the whole team brought their game up a level in that second half. You know, I think in some of their post-game like interviews and things, the players were saying, like, you know, nothing really had to be said to us about, you know, from head coach Stephanie White. It wasn't like they needed a big pep talk, right? Like, it was the most important game of the season, you know, sending it to a game five, and they just knew they had to bring out the energy and bring up the intensity. And they did that on the defensive end for sure. So I do think you're right that the defense allowed for faster points. Not all of them were in transition, actually. That said, what I think really helped with on the defensive end was actually the scoring on the offensive end, right? Like, when the Sun score a basket and the Lynx now have to inbound it, it gives them time to get back into their set defense, so they're not having to defend in transition off of a miss, or not, you know, starting out of rotation, trying to, you know, where it leads to mismatches and easier baskets for the other team. They're able to start out on the defensive end in the way that they're planning to. And then, yes, you're right, like, they're able to score on transition. But actually, interestingly, like, in this game, the Sun, while they had fewer turnovers, they did give up like one more point off turnovers overall in the game. But yeah, like, that defensive intensity that continued, because I think they were really great in the first quarter on defense, but like the defensive intensity in the second half, coupled with, you know, seeing that small ball lineup more, and them just hitting their shots, so their defense was able to get back, was massive. And then on the flip side, right, like, you get a stop on the defensive end, and now the Lynx are you know, in rotation, not guarding who they mean to be, and you've got these mismatches that you can use to your advantage. Last question here was, who will close in game five if it's a close game? Is it Marina or Ty, or is it both? And I think it's both. Like I said earlier, like, that small ball lineup matters. And I think, you know, if this game is close and you're late in the fourth quarter, you're going to need all the shooting and switching you can get. And so I think you play Ty and Marina, and then you're not just riding the one hot hand, right? The Lynx can't know who you're going to give it to if you've got Ty and Marina and DB out there on the court, space on the floor. Like, there's no telling who's going to be the one to hit the super clutch three. I think all three of them are a good bet in that sense. All right. This is a quick episode, but that's going to be it for me for this lunch break episode of Here Come the Sun. Thanks again to Hui for your, for asking questions on Twitter. If you've got questions or comments or thoughts, you can always find us on social media as well at @CTSunPod. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 617-903-7683 to hear your voice on the show. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you don't miss a new episode. And if you're a regular listener, please share it with your network of Sun fans. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Here Come the Sun.